And again, I want to thank everybody for being here tonight, in particular the West Kauai Business and Professional Association, in conjunction with our Kauai Chamber of Commerce, for hosting this very informative event. Tonight, we are pleased to be able to present the 14 candidates for our Kauai County Council. And before we get underway, I do want to let you know that, unfortunately, Tim Bynum is not able to join us tonight. He's dealing with an illness and was not able to make it. Also, Council Chair Jay Ferfaro was here earlier, and as you know, he has a very strong affinity for his ohana, and there are certain things going on that he needs to take care of, so he begged his leave, and we did thank him for coming out here tonight, and we will definitely miss him. Also, Tiana Laranio had planned to be here, but due to some unforeseen circumstances, she is unable to make it. So we will continue. And all these questions have never been posed to our candidates. They have no idea what I'm about to ask them. They all come from a prepared list, and the questions have been selected in a random order, and we will be going through each of the candidates. They will not get all of the questions, but they will be able to answer a few of them. I believe we're going to get two or three to each of our candidates, but they will not be answering the same question. Several of them will, but you'll figure it out as we go. Without the introductions, and we're going to forego the introductions, and we'll give the candidates an opportunity to speak at the conclusion of this process. So allow me to introduce, from your left to the far right, Joanne Yukimura, Mel Raposo, Mason Chalk, Daryl Perry, Kipukai Kualii, Atta Brun, Errol Kanashiro, Gary Hooser, Billy DaCosta, Ross Kagawa, and Felicia Cowden. Now, in the interest of time, I would like to ask if you could hold your applause to the end of the program, and then you can go wild and crazy and demonstrate all you want. But we'd like to be able to get on, and I know you folks have had a long day, so we'd like to be able to take care of this in a pretty quick order. So we will begin with contestant number one. No, I'm sorry. I can't get out of the pageant business. Each of our panelists will be asked one single question in the beginning, and then we'll do the random order. And so this is one for each and every one of them to answer. Your standard question, ladies and gentlemen. Kauai's Ordinance 960, passed in 2013, recently overturned by a federal judge. Do you support the appeal process of Ordinance 960? And please explain why. Joanne.
Aloha kakou. As for Ordinance 960 and the appeal, I did vote for the appeal because I felt that the court erred in not certifying a question of state law, the question regarding preemption, to the Hawaii State Supreme Court. Also because I felt the EFIS, the Environmental Public Health Impact Study, which is a joint fact-finding, is not really preempted under law. I believe the doctrine of preemption covers regulation, but not joint fact-finding, and I would like to have that point cleared up. And also because the cost of the appeal was very significantly limited. I agree that we should move ahead by asking the state to do its job and to work with us on the issues that still need to be addressed in terms of pesticide regulation. Going for the appeal does not preclude us from doing that. And we need to demand, in fact, as we did during then Councilmember Nakamura and I, during the course of considering Bill 2491, we did go to the state and ask them to work with us. But at that point, the help wasn't forthcoming. The recent water quality pesticide study shows that it's...
Oh, thank you. I have to apologize. I did not explain. Our first question is 1 minute, 60 seconds. Then we'll give you 2 minutes for the rest of the questions. So, Kauai Ordinance 960, do you support the appeal process of the ordinance? Why and why not, Mel Raposo?
Thank you all for being here tonight. No, I do not support the appeal. Unfortunately, I was absent and I did not vote. A couple of reasons. Number one, Judge Curran is one of the most respected judges in the United States, federal court judges, and I've seen that personally over numerous years. The other issue is really the cost. You know, I think the public has been led to believe that it's 12,000, but it's 12,000 in addition to the 50,000, and it only covers the appeal. Should this case be remanded back down, and this goes to litigation, then the county is on the hook. Councilmember said this needs to go to court. It went. It was overturned. I would much rather see these monies used, to reach the result, which is creating a safer environment for the West Side people and anyone around these companies. So I do not support the appeal. I think we need to move on, stop the division in the community and on the council, and let's get to some real positive results. Thank you.
Mason Chalk.
Aloha, aye, aye. I do support the appeal. I support it because I believe it's important for us to figure out for us to support disclosures and buffer zones. You know, we talk about the money. This is being done pro bono. There are some costs involved, but it's minimal. And what it also includes is the cost of fighting our fees. There's a cost that's trying to be fought about fees, and that's also being included with our pro bono. We're talking about health. We're talking about the need to keep not our environment, but our people safe, and I'll do whatever I can to support that. Thank you.
Thank you. Daryl Perry.
As a law enforcement officer, I am mandated to follow the law, and that includes court orders, especially those issued by a federal court judge. Therefore, I do not support the appeal of Ordinance 960. The ruling provides guidelines on how to work within the federal and state statutes. And with regards to costs, the cost related to this whole issue is over $200,000. And it doesn't include all of the costs that occurred prior to that with the processes of getting the bill passed. And it does not include whether or not the seed companies will ask for reimbursement for their legal costs, which may go over well over $1 million. So these are monies that will be coming out of your tax dollars, out of your pocket. And the other day, thank you.
Kipukai Kuali, do you support the appeal process for Ordinance 960?
60 seconds is not enough. I do not support the appeal. To begin with, as a native Hawaiian, to me, malama aina means taking care of our land truly. And so why wasn't this original pesticide bill addressing all the poisoning of our lands? Why did it single out GMO or seed companies? What about the golf courses? What about resorts? What about the state? What about even our own county and the pesticides we use? So when the moratorium was moved out of the bill, which was important because we couldn't afford losing 1,000 jobs and putting our families in the lines, it was no longer a GMO bill. And as long as it was a pesticide bill, why is it discriminating and not monitoring all pesticides? The courts have decided we've lost $200,000. Why keep losing more money? As a fiscally responsible person, even $10,000 or $15,000 matters to our people. To my parents who are living on a fixed income, I need to be responsible for our taxpayers.
Thank you. Arthur Bruhn, do you support the appeal process for 960?
No, I don't support the appeal of Ordinance 960. First of all, it was a bad law. We're trying to combine GMOs and pesticides. If we have an issue with pesticides, let's address the pesticide issue and address it with everybody, not just the seed companies. GMOs, there's no proof that any GMOs made anybody sick. If we have an issue with pesticides, let's address the pesticide issue. Why don't we grant the mayor the 30 days that he wanted so we could work it over and work with the companies and see what we could do? We spent enough money so that, like Councilman Raposo said, 12,000, but we're also losing out on that 50,000. But what if now they come back and sue? We're going to lose out on all that. We're passing laws for the minority of the people. Let's work for the majority of the people of Kauai and benefit the local people that's going to stay here for the rest of their life and work together as a community. The division got to stop, and we had a lot of division because of this bill that was passed illegally.
Errol Kanashiro, same question.
I do not support the appeal. What it comes down to is responsibility and cost. And Based on the judge's ruling, it's not our responsibility to be regulating pesticides and GMOs. And now we're up to what is our cost. I mean, we can be responsible for doing a lot of stuff. We can try and do whatever we want. But ultimately, it's going to cost us, the taxpayers and the island. So is it something that we want to continue to do and continue to cost us? Or is it something that we're going to say, hey, maybe we should stop. Maybe we should work it out with the companies. Maybe we should talk about it and try to come up with a plan that will keep us out of litigation and stop us from continuing to pay a cost or cost of litigation. So,
thank you. Gary Hoosier, do you support the appeal process for Ordinance 960?
I absolutely do. And talk about cost. What is the cost of one child's life? What is the cost of somebody getting sick because of pesticide exposure? What is the cost to our community for this? There are dozens of doctors, obstetricians and pediatricians at KVMH who testified in support of this bill and believe there's a problem there. Doctors all over our community, this is a very real issue. And unlike some here, I believe I have a responsibility as a council member. If the state's not doing it, it's our responsibility. And in terms of costs and appeal, the county will appeal court decisions it wants to. They're appealing the court decision about the mayor and the police commission fighting over the police chief. Okay, the cost of employee grievances in our county far exceeds what this has cost the county, Bill 960, and nobody up here is jumping up and down about that. Okay, there's plenty of costs. We can spend a lot of time about that, but I'm concerned about the cost of the health and the environment in our community. Five council members, not a minority, voted in support of this.
Billy DaCosta, the same question.
I'm going to have to say 960. No, I don't support the appeal. I believe Mauna Kea Trask, a very intelligent county attorney, advised us not to move forward. The mayor asked for 30 days. Everybody's in a position because they believe that they are there with their education. We have a federal judge who mandated the ruling. Enough litigation, enough separation. We're moving forward. The taxpayers are suffering. That's my answer.
Thank you. Ross Kagawa.
Thank you. From day one of Bill 2491, I spoke in strong opposition to the bill because of the legal problems that I foresaw. And, today, look at the problems that we have. It's the same problems that I said, where the state preempts us from regulating pesticides. And we passed it anyway. And, you know, it came to the point where the mayor asked for a one-month deferral. One-month deferral to work with the state and the seed companies. But no. Because of personal agendas, we passed the bill anyway, not listen to a 66-page report by Mauna Kea Trask. Not one page now, 66 pages. And I told a lot of people in this audience that I had those legal problems. I spent hours with some people from the community that had those concerns. So this is a real deal. We have legal issues. There are other ways to work on getting the results to the community.
All right, thank you. And way at the far end, boy, you're almost to Kamakani. Whew. Felicia Cowden.
Yes, I support appeal, and mainly because I think it's very appropriate to obtain clear guidance from the state in the state court. It's especially easier when we have this pro bono presentation. The 249 process was very painful. But there's been a building of the political will. This is really a state responsibility. The Department of Agriculture and the Department of Health, they kind of came up hero. They finally did a snapshot of the streams in Hawaii, not all of them, but across the state. And they presented it. And they acknowledged this is the first time they've ever looked to see if there was pesticide runoff in the streams, that they don't even have the capacity to do it. So that's never been looked at. But 100% of the tested streams across Hawaii do have pesticide contamination, and that is below golf courses, resorts, towns, certainly Kekaha, and the seed corn areas. So it's all over.
Thank you very much. All right, and now we will get down to our randomly selected questions, and we will begin with Joanne Yukimura. Incidentally, the first four candidates will get this first question. Joanne, do you support the KIUC Pu'ulua Pump Storage Project, and why would you, yes or no?
I have to beg ignorance on the project. I have not really studied it, but I do support a pump storage hydro project, because I believe even with all of these photovoltaic projects that we have right now, and we have 2 minutes, right, on this?
Yes.
Okay. They are not firm power, and a hydro project would be firm power with pump storage. It gives us more flexibility. And actually, it may be tied to photovoltaic, but it will be a way that makes photovoltaic into firm power. So it's a very, very important project to do that. And there needs to be very careful environmental impact assessment so that we are ensured that the natural resources are properly used and there aren't any unintentional consequences to it, but through a proper process, and if it's determined to be a well environmentally sound project, we should go forward on it, and I would support it.
Thank you very much. Mel Raposo, do you support the KIUC Pu'ulua pump storage project? Yes or no?
I do support it. You know, I believe hydro is one of the methods of generating power. You know, I was at a conference once in Alaska, and they went around the room asking, how much do you pay per kilowatt? And people started raising their hands and saying 6 cents, 8 cents. And I knew we were paying close to 50. So I thought I had misunderstood the question. And but come to find out that many of the locations on the mainland that have the 4 to 6, 8 cents per kilowatt of power cost is because of hydro. It is probably the cheapest way to produce generate electricity. So I definitely support the project. Like Councilman Rikimura said, it definitely has to meet the strict environmental regulations. But as we want to get away from oil, as we want to get away from methods of generation, electrical generation or power generation that creates more problems for the environment, I believe hydro is a viable source. Photovoltaic, a great source of power. However, we were limited. KIUC only will allow us to have so many megawatts of power. So that's limited, and I believe we're very close, if not at the capacity at this point. So we need to start looking at other methods. I will say that I did visit two different hydro projects on the mainland, and with the technology today and how they are able to get it done with very low visible impact or visual impact, I think it's the way to go and something that we definitely need to look at. So, yes, I do support the project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. Mason Chalk, do you support the Pu'ulua pump storage, and yes or no, why?
Yes, I do. And, you know, I think that Kauai could really serve as a model of sustainability. If we can get through our pesticide issue, which I think we will with the kind of community that we have, to continue to come to that resolution. Hydro's just one of those things that we need to look at as well. And so, absolutely, I totally am supportive of it. However, we can't forget the process, and the process would include us looking at environmental issues that might impact this. We also need to take into any cultural impacts that could hinder the project. What this requires is us to come to the table with our community to look at a specific location, as discussed here, and ensure that everyone has a voice in that process. I really like what was said earlier as well, and I wanted to mention that again, is we need to start to think about how this work that we are supporting as a community benefits our people directly. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And last on this particular question, Daryl Perry.
I, too, support the hydroelectric power plant in Manaa for all the reasons that Mel said. But I also wanted to tell you that the only dam that I ever went to was the Hoover Dam, and that was unbelievable. And if we can get power from other sources besides fossil fuels such as gas and oil, that's the only way to go, and that's the way we must go today. Not only that, but this will benefit the farmers and address, as I said, other energy needs. We are looking at the environment that we're currently having problems with, not only nationwide, locally, but also globally with warming. So I do support that. How much time do I have? 1 minute, okay. I just wanted to go back to that statement that was made about what is the cost of one child's life. I want to assure you that everybody on this panel is concerned about every single child on this island. And to infer that we wouldn't care is irresponsible. For example, the Kauai Police Department addresses child abuse. We are committed to community programs. We have KPAL programs that work with over 2,000 kids. We have school resource officers that are in the schools to help not only the children, but also their families. And we also support the drug treatment and healing centers. So I just wanted to clarify that to make sure that you understand that not one of the people on this panel is putting any child at risk. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, a new question. And Kipukai Kualii, you will get this question. Given the current state of the Ke Kaha landfill nearing capacity, what plans do you have going forward for Kauai's discards? More diversion? Business as usual? Burn them for energy? What would you do?
The landfill filling up has been a problem for years now, and the county has just been moving too slow. In the time that it takes for the new landfill to be put in place, we have to expand the existing landfill, and we have to do more diversion. Citizens individually have to take responsibility and recycle more and compost more and purchase less, purchase in bulk. I mean, we love our island, and we know we have to do what we have to do to keep our aina beautiful. Trash is inevitable. It's part of our life. But one by one, each of us can do our part too. The county is doing its best. The mayor is doing his best. Big projects like siting and building a new landfill takes time. But the people can help. The people should help. I know I'm helping. I never understood what composting was. I'm not even using it to grow anything, but I got one of those plastic containers and I put all my green waste in there and I stir it up and the rain adds the water and it's disintegrating. So maybe I'm not actually creating compost and actually using it to grow anything, but I'm diverting it from the landfill and it's disintegrating. So it's easy. You just keep everything that is, you know, green waste and not dairy, can't be dairy, can't be meat, but they do the 20-minute film and show you how to do it, and it's free. So we all can play a part in diversion, and I know the county, the mayor, the council will all do what we can for the landfill and supporting the community with host community benefits. I think that's really important, too. So we need to continue to support Ke Kaha because they've been there for...
Thank you. Arthur Bruhn, Ke Kaha landfill is nearing capacity. What plans do you have moving forward? How do we handle our discards?
We should start looking at the incinerators that was brought up and move that forward. With installing two incinerators, you can get rid of what is already there and the new trash that is coming in. And I think we're moving forward in that direction right now. We need to encourage recycling. Encourage our recycling program. Give them benefits to do it. Give them the ways and the means and work on a better diversion program to help with recycling. I recycle. I recycle cans, bottles, you know, cardboard, everything. I'll bring it to the recycle bins and do whatever we have to. The landfill has been a major eyesore down in Ke Kaha. I live in Waimea. I work down in Ke Kaha, and it's really bad what it looks like. I think we put way more dirt than we put rubbish in there. We got way too much dirt in there. And we need to kind of figure that out, work with that, get rid of that, put it in the incinerator, turn it to electric, do something with it, make use of it. Because the landfill, nobody wants it in their backyard. They were trying to move the landfill. Nobody wants it where it is. So let's work on getting rid of what we got there. Let's keep the landfill there. Get down what we have right now and use the same site for it. Because I know there's a lot of people that's working to get rid of the base, get rid of the corn companies, get rid of everybody because they want to just fill that up with all landfills. You know, we need to really look at what we got and work with it. And not because you don't want it on your side of the island or your place. We need to all work together and figure this out. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And last on this question, Errol Kaneshiro.
Can you repeat the question?
You
again?
Bet I can. I figured I should. The current state of the Kekaha landfill is that it's near capacity, if not over. What plans would you have moving forward for Kauai's discarding of our waste? Do you recommend more diversion, business as usual, burning for energy? What would your plan be?
Definitely this landfill issue is a huge issue for the county. Our landfill is reaching its capacity of its life. We definitely need to look for an alternate location. And I know there's options out there also to look at waste to energy projects. And it's going to take a collaboration. It's going to take the county. It's probably going to take a private company. It's going to take a company that has the technology to take the waste and actually reduce it or create some type of energy. And it's also going to take our effort to recycle and also reduce the amount of waste that we put into the landfill. But definitely it's a pressing issue, and it's an issue that needs to be taken care of sooner than later, because the longer we wait, the more expensive it's going to be for us to have to switch over or figure out a solution.
All right, thank you. New question, new candidate, Gary Hoosier. Would you support an initiative to revive the Super Ferry and have it provide service to Kauai?
So would I I'll choke on that one. You know, the Super Ferry is a particular business model. A Super Ferry is a particular size, and the Super Ferry was a bad idea. The Super Ferry did not follow the law. The Super Ferry circumvented the law. It was too big a ferry. It wasn't cost effective. It was a bad business model. It borrowed $40 million from the state. So would I support that again? Absolutely not. There is a need for alternative transportation. There's no question about that. We're an island community. We need to get back and forth. I think we need three airlines like we used to have and get the airline rates way down. But would I support a super ferry? No, because not the super ferry that was here before. And that's a good example of things that happen in our community. The idea gets thrown out. Everybody goes, yeah, that's a great idea. It's like the dairy that we're talking about. And then you start looking at it closely, and you start asking questions. And that's one of the strengths that I bring to the county council, is I'm willing to ask the tough questions. A popular idea like the Super Ferry, I'm willing to ask, well, wait a second, did they do their environmental review? Oh, wait a second, how much money are they borrowing from the state? You know, so those, it's important to have a council member and members to have, first of all, have diversity on the council, and have council members willing to ask the tough questions, willing to do the homework, and willing to challenge the powers that be. In this case, it was challenging the governor of the state of Hawaii and the major businesses. At the end of the day, the Hawaii Supreme Court ruled that those that had questions were correct. At the end of the day, the business community ruled that it was a bad business model and they went broke. So that the willingness to ask those tough questions is a characteristic that I bring to the table, and I appreciate your support and letting me stay there. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Billy DaCosta, would you support an initiative to revive the Super Ferry and have it provide services to Kauai?
Well, first of all, it will be left up to the voters. You put it on a ballot, 20% of the people vote, and that's how it's going to be moved through. But to answer the question, yes, I support the Super Ferry. As long as there would be an EPA done, as long as we understand that right now there's only two major carriers of freight, Matson and Young Brothers. I worked 10 years for Young Brothers. Those guys down at Young Brothers and Matson make over $35 an hour. Because when a company lose money, they go to the PUC and they get a rate increase, and it's put on to the taxpayer. It's put on to the you guys who ship your products, whether it's your car, whether it's your fruits and vegetables, whether it's your livestock. It's about time we give people another opportunity, another chance to travel. If it's done safe, if those machines are built where it's not going to ruin our environment, let's give our people another means of transportation that is cost effective. Try take your family to Oahu for a soccer game. Go book a reservation, five of you, and go fly. My boy is coming home from Kamehameha School. It costs $320 for a round-trip ticket. It's a shame, you guys. Kauai, we got to wake up. We're not going to be small our whole time. Proper vision, proper investing, proper business. We can make this a very nice state to live in. We need another form of transportation. Thank you.
Thank you. Ross Kagawa. Would you support the Super Ferry? And what? I think you know the question.
Very interesting question. You know, if we had Aloha Airlines still operating full steam ahead, you know, it wouldn't be a question that we need, because we would have competition. The prices of the airfare would not be controlled by a monopoly airline. And, you know, now we're just held hostage. Whatever is the price, if we need to go, we need to pay. You know, if you go to the mainland, you take a much longer trip, maybe from Las Vegas to Oregon, and you pay, you know, $70. Whereas here, we're paying $170 to go half the distance. You know, it's ridiculous, but it's the way, you know, corporations work at times. You know, they're going to maximize their profits, expand their airlines so they can reach, you know, more destinations. So what we really need is we need competition. And, you know, it is not the council that has the most influence on that. It would be the state and the federal legislators that could influence, you know, bringing in a Southwest or another airlines that could compete. But, you know, with 1 minute left, I'd like to just point out some facts about how important the county is, that we need to focus on our own problems. Currently, our budget, we're in a $2 million hole if we take into account the expenditures for next year. We're bankrupt. The state, they cannot say they have $880 million surplus. If they paid all of their employee retirement obligations today, paid it all current, they would pay $11 to $13 billion. They're bankrupt right now by $11 to $13 billion. The federal government is in debt $18 trillion. That's 18 million million. So we have a lot of issues with governments. Nobody is really succeeding, but we're running right here. We can take care of Kauai's problems. We can take care of Kauai's issues. That is why we're here, and we need to lead by example right here, be responsible, so we don't pass debt on to our children. And that is our function.
Thank you, Ross. Felicia Cowden, would you support the super ferry?
I'm really glad to follow Ross on this, because he's bringing up something very important on the economics. When the super ferry came up last time, I was part of the Kauai Business Council, representing as president of the Kauai North Shore Business Council. And I remember hearing about the super ferry, and I thought, well, it's islands, you know, a boat, makes sense. But then as we listened to the discussion, basically, that was a windfall of money from the federal government that did not seem well planned. And it was really imperative that they were able to avoid the EA process and had a plan to get around just doing it on the landing pad. And I was listening with concern. And as we were talking about it, or being told about it, really, looking at the business plan for it, it did not seem like it made sense to me at all. The amount of money it would cost to be running and operating this program, and the boats weren't, I mean, it wasn't even being owned by a company that had a lot of experience. It wasn't like Matson's was doing it. So, you know, I was looking at it, I think this is going to be demanding subsidization. And when we invest these monies and we aren't really ready to be handling it, there's a lot of different concerns. There's the environmental, when there's a million people on Oahu, and less than 70,000 people on Kauai. Guaranteed, Oahu is going to be impacting us more than we're going to be impacting Oahu. I don't have a real clear answer on it, because I would need all the facts. My instinct tells me it's not a sound and viable piece. Do I understand Billy's perspective? Yes. I would have been a super fairy hypocrite. Even if I fought it, I bet I'd be on it. So, I look at those things, not a simple answer. It's not a given for a yes.
Thank you. All right, we come back to Joanne Yukimura with a brand new question. Do you support the military presence at PMRF Barking Sands? And if you do, what can you do to ensure that it remains a priority for Kauai?
I do support PMRF on the west side. It provides a very, very important third leg, if you will, to tourism and to government, I think, is the other big economic generator. It has a separate procurement schedule that's not subject to the ups and downs of tourism. It provides a lot of high, well-paying jobs and technical jobs where our young people who are highly trained can come back to. It provides a source of support for the West Side community in the ways that it participates in our community events and supports our community. So it's a very important and good neighbor. And certainly I remember during Hurricane Iniki how important the PMRF was. There were many things that they were doing that allowed us in the central part of the island to go to and look at other things because PMRF was doing the work here in a coordinated effort. I want to just take a minute to talk about the super ferry. The other night after the council meeting, I went walking. It was about 7 o'clock at Kauai Lagoons, where I live close to that. It was so quiet and peaceful. And I remembered going to Hilo not recently and hearing the Koki frogs. And I support surface water transport, another form of it. But we have to be so careful about how we handle those environmental impacts because they could change the life and the economy on Kauai. And that's why those safeguards in reviewing any proposal is really important. And also, I would say, have it be powered by renewable energy because no matter how low cost it wants to be,
Thank you very much. Mel Raposo, do you support the military presence at PMRF? And if so, what would you do to ensure it?
I support the military. I support PMRF. I support the Navy. I support. I retired with the Hawaii Air National Guard after 21 years of service. I served on PMRF for many, many years. I think the military doesn't get enough credit and thank yous in general. The PMRF is not just a military facility. It's a military facility that is very community friendly over the years. I've seen the protests. I've seen the hassle that the community gave PMRF decades ago. And yet today, you know, PMRF is one of the top employers in the county and provides very good jobs for a lot of our people. It's not just the jobs, but it's what PMRF does for the communities and what they give back. And I think that's important when we start looking at industries. You know, the other thing, we talk about the super ferry, we talk about the PMRF. This is a county council forum. And we're not talking about the roads and the issues that county council is supposed to be dealing with. And I appreciate this forum. But I think when we start dipping into the super ferry issue, it's not an issue that the county would have a say. And PMRF, likewise. I mean, can you imagine a county council passing a resolution to President Obama saying, hey, we don't want PMRF here on Kauai. We don't want it. Please take it back and put it in Guam or wherever. My voting record clearly shows my support of the military. I try to get the C-17 transport aircraft based out of PMRF. That resolution failed years ago. But I think we got to take care of PMRF and PMRF. I don't know if anyone here from PMRF, but thank you for your service and your community support throughout the decades. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mel. Next is Mason Chalk. Same question. Do you support the military presence at PMRF?
We're getting pretty good at this one-minute questions because we're answering a couple in 2 minutes. So I'm probably going to try to do the same here. For the same reasons I mentioned, I think I had this question the last time, too. I do support PMRF. And how can we support them is really, I think, what the question is asking about. I think that we have a great partnership with PMRF. I think that they're good neighbors. What I like to ask is what can our federal government, PMRF, do for us more, our county? Because I think that there's some things that we could both mutually support each other with. The fact that they bring these high-tech jobs here, I think that one thing that we could support is to ensure that we have our youth, our kids, getting into those jobs. And so we need to have that kind of infrastructure in place with our KCC curriculum. We need to be able to build that kind of educational opportunity so that they can come back or they don't have to go that far to be here at PMRF and take those jobs. I also like what PMRF does with our cultural sites and being able to, I mean, I think someone said it earlier, is be able to preserve some of, the Barking Sands areas, which is pristine. And I'm so glad that they're there for that specific reason. They do a great job with sustainability. And I think that we could partner as well on some of those initiatives together as we have in the past. Here's my second question. In talking about the jobs, portion. I think, as I said before, I think Kauai can be a model for sustainability. I think that what we need to do in supporting KCC is understanding that the future jobs are unknown in the 21st century. And so we need leaders, people who can think on their toes, who can be entrepreneurs and adapt to whatever situation and any job that comes for us. We need to be more creative in supporting our kids so that they can thrive in any opportunity that comes their way and what they with.
Thank you. And last on this question, Daryl Perry, do you support the military presence at Barking Sands, and what would you do to ensure that it remains a priority for Kauai?
Yes, I do. I support them. As a matter of fact, if there's anybody here from PMRF, thank you very much. We work hand in hand to keep our community safe through training, such as active shooting training. And as you realize, it's been an ongoing threat to vulnerable areas such as our schools and shopping centers. Sandy Hook is one example where 20 children were gunned down, were murdered. And so we work hand in hand with PMRF to make sure that this doesn't happen here on Kauai. But on the other side, there's that economic enhancement of Kauai, the high-tech jobs and community involvement. We work with them on many of our youth programs. And as a veteran, I have to thank PMRF for the advances in technology, including the advanced weaponry. And I know there's some issues about that. But nevertheless, the weapons and the technology that are available today will keep our troops out of harm's way and combat terrorism such as ISIS. And as you know, ISIS is a global threat. It's not only on the other side of the globe. It's a global threat, and we all have to be aware of that threat. So, yes, I do support PMRF. As long as I'm here, I will continue to do so. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We move on to another question and another candidate. Kipukai Kualii, do you support the West Kauai Regional Park Complex project? And could you explain that?
So I'm not sure I'm fully familiar with that, but I'm going to talk about jobs and the economy, because that clearly is one of the projects. And so in order to diversify and strengthen our economy, I support the work that was started when I was on the council by then former planning chair Nadine Makamura and my good friend regarding a slaughterhouse, the digital media production facility, certified kitchens, and the sports complex, which I guess is intended for the west side here. I support tax and land use policies that bring meaningful support, especially to our food and agriculture industry cluster. And I support our small businesses. Our host tonight is a conglomerate of business professionals here in Waimea Town. And I know they've been doing some work. It's great what they're doing with this theater and what they have done over the years. So I support partnerships that create business incubators, tech centers, community-certified kitchens, and outdoor markets and events. And as a community organizer and an officer of our Homestead Community Development Corporation, I've been helping community economic development projects come to life, come to action, you know, in action on our homestead communities in Anahola and in Kekaha. Projects like a community-certified kitchen that doubles as a nonprofit community cafe and sign-in stand, a thrift store and furniture outlet, an outdoor marketplace, and a nonprofit youth and cultural campground right there on Anahola Bay. You guys should come check it out. All these projects bring with them real opportunities for jobs, contracts, and even business startups. So in small ways, I've been doing this work, and again, working with Nadine was part of that inspiration, and community is very important to me and economic development.
Thank you. Arthur Bruhn, do you support the West Kauai Regional Park Complex, and why or why not?
Yes, 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 yes. As the one of the field directors for Kauai Pony Baseball, this would really help us to host tournaments out here so we can compete with Oahu, because it's, you know, being that I'm flying to Oahu to umpire college softball, it's costing me like $250 per round trip. And that's just crazy. That's too much. Let's get them here. Let's host these teams to come here. Let's get some tournaments out here. Lihue Baseball League runs the biggest tournament on Kauai and might be in the state. Last year we had 40 teams come down, 16 Mustang, 16 Bronco, 8 Pony, and I do the UIC for that tournament, so I schedule all the umpires. And we had to bring in people from Oahu, and we played at Lihue Park, Eisenberg Park, Hanamalu Park. You know, instead of just bringing it to this big facility, we could have made out here on the west side and just host the whole tournament at one site. We can attract a lot more teams. A lot of our adults going to Oahu who play softball because they got that Central Oahu Regional Park. Let's have it here. Let's have some big name teams. UH came down here, played an exhibition game at Waimea Canyon Park. You know, they can probably host their tournament right here on Kauai if we can get the facility to do it. And this is a whole facility that would address all of our concerns. And with this facility, we can help to keep our youth off the streets. By doing this facility, you get more activities. You can work with the Boys and Girls Club. You can work with community organizations and do it right here in the community and help everybody, our children, do something instead of going out on the street, drinking, doing drugs, and doing all kind of stuff that they shouldn't be doing. Let's help them to give them a productive life. Let's help them right here on our island. Thank you.
Thank you, Arthur. Same question, Errol Kanashiro. Do you support the West Kauai Regional Park Complex?
Yes, I'll definitely support the West Kauai Sports Complex. A lot of the questions you get a lot of times is, hey, what can we do on the west side? What does the west side have? And I really think you see a lot of softball tournaments coming in. You see a lot of sports teams come down, and it would be great to have a complex that we can be proud of, that everybody can come to, that outer islands will come to, and it'll be a sense of pride for Waimea. And I think the west side needs more activity, and they would want more activity, and I think it would be a great thing for the west side.
All right, thank you very much. And we get to our next question. We'll begin with Gary Hooser. What is your position on the 1,800 cattle dairy farm that is proposed for the Kalua Plain?
Yeah, thank you. I have some real concerns about the dairy farm. You know, I've met with all the stakeholders, with the developer, with the people in the hotel, people in the Kalua area. And at first I thought, well, this is a great idea. You know, have a dairy and agriculture and feed ourselves. And then I realized that none of the milk was going to stay here. Then the more I learned about it, the more intense the activity is. And every day more and more information comes out. Information came out recently about the soil quality, the soil type. It's not really the kind of soil type that takes to all this effluent put out by the cattle. And so I think there's a lot of questions. I think it's in the wrong place. You know, I do support agriculture, and we need a dairy, quite frankly. So we need to ask those questions, and the state has yet to give the permits. But I applaud the community for being involved. And there was a lot of talk about divisiveness, and I want to just talk about that for a second. You know, the Kauai County Council is 7 individuals. Ordinance 960 was passed by 5. Many, if not most, issues are a 5-2 vote. Sometimes I'm 2, sometimes I'm part of the 5. And there's another word that's related to divisiveness, and I would say diversity. That's really what you want on the council, it's a diversity of opinions. You don't want a 7-0 vote every single issue. You don't want a rubber stamp every single issue. 7,000 people voted for Dustin Barca. They deserve a seat at the table. You know, the Filipino community, the Hawaiian community, the Chinese, Japanese, Caucasian community, we all deserve a seat at the table, old, young men and women. Diversity is not bad. Diversity of opinion is not bad. It's healthy. That's how democracy works. It's not a rubber stamp. A rubber stamp is not healthy. Good, robust discussion, differences of views, differences of values all come to the table, and majority rules. That's what we have on the Kauai County Council today, I think, and that's what I'd like to have moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Billy DaCosta, what is your position on the 1,800 cattle dairy farm proposed for the Kalua Plain?
I ask you community members out there, how many of you have little Keiki right now between the ages of 2 years and birth that we drink whole milk out of a bottle? World crisis, high pricing fossil fuel, shortage of milk coming to Hawaii. Where do we get our milk on Kauai? Where? I'm telling you guys right now, there's more nitrogen going into the ocean from the Hyatt with the golf course, with their septic system right there next to the ocean, than that dairy will provide. That's organic matter going into the grass. that they are laying on there. It's a over 8 inches of gravel filtration system. It's a New Zealand state-of-the-art process. This is not just some guys planting seeds from grass to grow and put a bunch of cows out there. It's ag land that is dedicated by a company, and if they don't put cattle out there, it's going to be something else. It's going to be another hotel. It's going to be million-dollar Westerners buying homes out there. Is that what you guys want? I was born and raised in Makaweli, which is 2 miles from Waimea. There was a dairy out here for decades. I went to St. Teresa's School, which is a mile and a half from the dairy. We smelled the dairy a little bit. Your nostrils began to become used to it. But let me tell you something. The kids went there on a field trip. They experienced a business that was flourishing. We need sustainability. This is one way. We need milk. We need local milk. It might not bring the price down, but we'll have a sustainable source of milk in case something happened. Thank you.
Thank you, Billy. Ross Kagawa, what's your position on the 1800 cattle dairy farm?
Well, you know, as I spoke earlier, I think the mayors did an excellent job of covering that subject. And, you know, currently it's in court. So basically, I think we need to just wait to what the court says. And, you know, for now, I think whatever we say doesn't really matter. You know, I believe that, you know, there's newer technology to handle the smell and everything. And, you know, for the Hyatt to say, we don't want this next to us, I think there were many people when the Hyatt was proposed that didn't want the Hyatt to spoil the beauty of that area. And, you know, it's kind of hypocritical to me that, you know, now they have something else that is not a building, is not cement, is not spoiling the beauty of the natural Aina. Just that animals would be running on it, and they oppose it. But, you know, I think if it does create a smell, definitely the politicians would step up, would put a stop to the nonsense, and would tell them to move. But you need to give them a chance. You can't just come to the conclusion that, oh, you know, they're gonna do this and that before they even, you know, do it. And so, you know, and that part, I think, you know, we need to worry about what we have on our plate right now. And, you know, as I said before, you know, the county, if you really look at it, regarding the budgets, we are doing the best. At $2 million deficit, we are doing the best by far. The state, like I said, what I said, $11 to $13 billion in the hole. If they had to pay all of their unfunded liabilities at this point, that is scary. The federal government, even worse, $18 million in the hole. And we're going to, you know, say that, you know, we got all these other issues that come before that. We need to take care of our finances. And we need a serious look into our real property tax structure so that we do not tax our local people off their lands. And it's very scary. We need to address it.
Thank you. And Felicia Cowden, please share your position on the cattle dairy.
Well, it's been covered pretty well, but I will say that, number one, I support food sustainability. That's a big issue. I have looked at the National Conservation Resource Service paperwork, and it looks like there is some problems with the percolation rate and proximity to some wells. It is agriculture land. We're hearing a number of very important points right here. I do look forward to going out and walking the property and seeing it firsthand. Anytime before I decide I'm for or against something, I really like to have primary source information. The easy thing would be to put it on the other side of the mountain. I don't really understand why it wasn't placed better. But I would like to use this opportunity to say how important I think it is for us to have food sustainability, and was a process that we can actually re-achieve. Having food grown here locally in a healthy way is one of the most important things that we can do in terms of reducing the waste in our landfill, to being able to keep better healthy people, to being able to have less economic pressure on households. And I know this, it sounds kind of like, well, that's a very strong statement, but when I did the experiment in my own life with my students and we began to grow so much food so easily by choosing the right plants, our garbage went from 2 cans a week to half a can, maybe every other week. Kitchen trash is where a lot of this trash comes from. The pressure on the household finances drops tremendously. the need to go out and work a second job or work as hard actually drops a lot. Food is very expensive. Being able to stay home with your kids, less pressure on the roads, many, many ways that moving towards food reliability, sustainability, it's possible and it can happen.
Thank you very much. Well, that concludes our lightning round. It seems like we just went through this super fast. And I do want to afford each of you an opportunity to make yet another statement. We've got 2 minutes for each of you. There is no question. The time is yours. Joanne, we'll begin with you.
All right. Well, thank you. Aloha kakou, everyone. Thank you for being here tonight and staying through to the end. And mahalo to our sponsor, the West Kauai Business and Professional Association, the Chamber of Commerce, and all the other sponsors. I rode the bus here tonight and took the time to chill out from a busy day. I even fell asleep. But at Kalaheo, I woke up, and as we turned off to Waiawa, I began to experience the west side, which is the beautiful coffee fields and the ocean, and then through Elieli Hanapepe and Kamakani and Pakala and Waimea. And, of course, there's Kekaha, but I didn't get there. And just came to me how beautiful this is, not only in terms of the land, but the people. A very, very special place. And it's been a privilege to represent the West Side as part of the whole Kauai community. I'm running for council for the 10th time now since I ran first in 1976. You as the community have supported me and enabled me to, for example, start the Kauai Bus, to support the building of over 1,400 affordable homes, to create the Sunshine Markets and the Poipu Beach expansion, as well as other places. There's much more work to do. I would like to continue serving you. It has been a deep privilege, and I hope that you will cast one of your 7 votes for Joanne Yukimura. Mahalo.
Thank you, Joanne. Mel Raposo.
Thank you. I'll be blunt and to the point. You know, you got 7 incumbents that have track records. I suggest you go check that out. Anyone can sit up here and tell you what they're going to do. But for the 7 incumbents, you can actually go back and check. I mean, I think my record on fiscal accountability, fiscal responsibility and management, with some shoreline setback issues, TVRs, I think my votes clearly show where my heart is on this island. You know, I've never been afraid of speaking up. I think that's one of my assets and also one of my liabilities. I get criticized a lot. The paper likes to quote me. But the bottom line is sometimes things need to be said, regardless how unpopular it is. And I've never been afraid to say that. I do want to bring up 2491 and 960 because, you know, the council needs to be working together to get things done. And, you know, much has been said about the dozens and dozens of doctors that have made all these allegations and comments and recommendations. But they're doctors. We gotta, as a council members, we gotta look at the legal ramifications. You know, I never had a problem with the substance. My problem was the vehicle. Where we were going, I knew we were gonna be where we're at, and yet there was another way. Can you imagine if we had dozens and dozens and dozens of lawyers making recommendation to your medical doctor for your diagnosis? Apples and oranges. We had a legal issue. It wasn't a substance issue. It wasn't a pesticide. It was a legal issue. And that legal issue has now ended us up in court. And there's got to be a better way. Ross and I went to see the governor shortly after the Department of Ag made complete butts of themselves on county TV. And the governor gave us an appointment, and within 2 weeks or so, with the help of the mayor, we had the good neighbor policy. People criticize that. Where has 2491 gotten us? Where has the good neighbor policy gotten us? There are alternative ways to get things done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. Mason Chalk.
Aloha. I come from a family that has been here for generations, the Cummings, Fernandez, Javalana family. I have traces back to Chief O'Ali on Maui and our beloved Kukona. Born and raised here, you know, my life has been about service and service in leadership, and I believe that's what I bring to this council. I've come into the council at a tumultuous time. It's no news. You know, one of the first questions I asked was, am I going to have to vote on this thing here that's coming up? And And, you know, when I said, when I was told, yes, you have to, this is part of the job here, and I said, okay, well, this is what I have to go to, my values. And H in my values is health. And I shared some of that the last time I was here in Waimea. And that's why I moved in that direction. And I believe, like many people here, that we can come to the solutions, regardless if this thing continues on to the worldwide discussion that's being occurring here. But what I believe I do stand for are not only these strong values that I will not compromise, but also a voice of reason. One of the things that came in on the second day of my job, was to step in between a division and a council. And while, you know, there's some criticism there as well, you know, I believe that there's two reasons why I was asked to step into that position as vice chair. One was because I do come with that reasonable voice, and the other was because there was some division. And I believe that I've proven myself to be a reasonable voice on the council. I believe I can continue to do that through leadership behaviors that I think I can exemplify and model for the rest of our council members and our community to in turn act on. And what that's going to take is community involvement. I believe we need to deregulate government as much as possible and give the power to the people in order to get real change done. Seven people cannot do that. Our mayor alone cannot do that, but we all collectively, if we get active in this process, can and will succeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mason. Daryl Perry.
I'd like to thank all of you for being here tonight, and the Kauai Chamber of Commerce and West Kauai Business and Professional Associations for giving us, all of us, the opportunity to participate in this forum. We are facing many challenges and issues that have splintered our community. This was unheard of only 10 years ago. And the need to respond effectively cannot come from a council that is divided and unable or deliberately unwilling to come together for the overriding good of our community. My name is Daryl Perry. I have been your chief of police for almost 7 years. I have over 14 years of experience in executive leadership positions. I have a master's degree in management. And I can bring stability to the county council. Same as the many positive changes that have occurred with the Kauai Police Department. With your support, I would like to work with council members, Raposo and Kagawa, to be unified in purpose, effort, and faith to move toward an open and honest and transparent government to restore public trust and confidence. Having a difference of opinion is a good thing, but we must eliminate severe internal conflicts and divisiveness that has unnecessarily cost taxpayers tens of thousands of dollars. And it is only through the spirit of cooperation that we can tackle the many challenges while creating a lasting and viable future for everyone, but more so for our children and seniors. I'm asking for your support. My name is Daryl Perry, and I approve this message.
Thank you, Daryl. Kipukai Kualii.
Mahalo to all the organizers, the chamber, and the West Kauai Business and Professional Association, and to all of you for showing up. What I promise you is that I will listen carefully, think independently, and work hard to be of service to all of you. That promise is based on my devotion to family and community, my respect and appreciation for our many different cultures, and my genuine concern for others and for making a difference. I'm committed to working together positively and focusing on fiscally responsible budgeting, more jobs in a diversified economy, core services and programs, protecting our aina, especially our agricultural and sustenance lifestyles, including hunting, gathering, and fishing. And most importantly, like Councilmember Raposo and Councilmember Kagawa has been trying to do, is making our government more accountable to the people. My time away working in government and on economic and social justice taught me to respect and value the diversity of community and struggle. It also taught me to make difficult decisions and achieve goals. My desire to serve you was so strong that it brought me back home after over 10 years. With the passage of Ordinance 960 and a continuing grassroots movement, we must bring all stakeholders together to find the appropriate solution to regulate all pesticide use. Having grown up here and spent over 10 years away uniquely qualifies me to help lead that collaboration to solving this and other pressing problems. I'm confident you'll find my experience, leadership, and dedication qualifies me as an ideal choice for you in this election. Please cast one of your votes for me, Kipukai Kualii. If you have any questions,
you can ask him. Thank you, Kipukai. Arthur Brune.
Aloha, thank you. If you have any questions, I have my website, Brune for Council. So I'm doing them first this time. Brune for Council or friendsofarthurbrune@gmail.com. Telephone number 652-7469. Facebook, Arthur Brune. We have coffee hours coming up. October 9th, Koloa Neighborhood Center from 5:30 to 7:30. October 15th, Wailua House Lots Park, 5:30 to 7:30. October 22nd, Hanapepe Neighborhood Center, 5:30 to 7:30. And October 29th, Kekaha Neighborhood Center. Come on down. Let's talk story. I want to know the issues going on in every community. Let's talk story. Get my views on everything. I want to thank you guys for coming out. Thank the West Kauai Business Professionals Association, Kauai Chamber of Commerce for putting this on. You know, we have a lot of issues facing our community. And, you know, we have a choice to either move forward, work with the administration, figure things out, work together, or we can be business as usual and fighting and doing whatever else we're doing and disagreements. We need to find a way to come together and work together. We need to create more resources to actively and positively engage our kids, create more resources to address our drug and substance abuse. Drug and substance abuse is not just crystal meth and prescription drugs. It's weed, it's cocaine, it's everything. Drugs is drugs. Alcohol in high school is a big problem. Tobacco is a big problem in high school. We need to address all of this, not just crystal meth and prescription drugs. A drug is a drug. Let's address it all. Let's work together. Let's work and give these guys resources so they can kick the habit and get off and be model citizens in the community, because everybody deserves a second chance. Thank you very much, Arthur Brune, County Council.
Thank you, Arthur. Errol Kanashiro.
Again, I'm going to repeat my name, Errol Kanashiro. I'm still getting people thinking I'm Daryl Kanashiro. I thought I had enough banners and signs out there for them to know it was Arrow. I know my picture's a little small for some people, but it's Arrow Kanashiro. As if you saw my banners and some of my signs, it says homegrown sensibility. And this isn't a phrase that I came up with. It was a phrase that people came up with. They brainstormed ideas and they said, you know what? I think this explains you, homegrown sensibility. Homegrown, born and raised, family ties to the island stretch back generations. And understanding the workings of this island, the community, culture, agriculture, development, and business. Sensibility. Remember, I didn't come up with this, so. Humble, confident, respectful, educated, genuine, and ultimately able to approach all of the issues, taking all of the working of the island into consideration. For me, born and raised, my values, ethics, my hard work, respect for others, that all was born here. That was born through our community. That was born through our friends, family, teachers. That's where I got my ethics from. And I just want to say that, you know, I feel like my business and accounting acumen will be a benefit to the county and an asset to the county. And I humbly ask for one of your votes. Thank you.
Thank you, Errol. Gary Hooser.
Yes, aloha. My name is Gary Hooser. And I'm here tonight to also ask you for one of your seven votes. And, you know, I was not born here. I was born in California. And to some people, that makes me sometimes not quite as worthy as other people. But I've lived here longer than most of the people, many of the people here on this stage. And my son Dylan was born here. He's 31 years old. My daughter was born here. And I've lived here for a long, long time. And I love this community. I love this community. I love being able to serve. And when people ask me for help, I do my best to help them. A year ago or more, people came to me and said, Gary, we need your help. We believe that our health is impacted, our environment. And so I stepped up to help. I asked the state. The state was doing nothing.
We have the bill. All we're doing is disclosure and buffer zones. Five council members passed it. And then they sued us. Okay? Kauai Coffee did not sue. Syngenta, Dow, Pioneer sued. Okay, talk about divisiveness. We were trying to do the best. Five council members voted. Five independent council members. You need diversity. This is about doing what's best. The mayor, I'm chuckling when he listed his long list of accomplishments. And none of that would have happened without the support of the council. None of it. We could have blocked anything and we didn't. We had differences on this bill. When people talk about the severe internal divisiveness, I don't know what they're talking about. You know, I consider the council members my friend. Once in a while, somebody might get angry. Councilmember Raposo and I hugged at least twice last week. And we have differences of opinion, but we respect each other, and we shake hands when it's done, and we go our separate ways. That's what mature adults on the county council, that's what you look for in leadership, I think. Diversity of opinion, people that are going to work hard, people that are going to ask the questions. Gary Hooser.
Thank you, Gary. Billy DaCosta.
Billy DaCosta, please, one of your seven votes. Now I'm going to tell you not what I can do for you if you elect me as council, but I'm going to give you a platform of who I am. I'm a product of you guys. I'm the furthest west-born citizen on this table here, Barney Pakala. I went to St. Teresa's School in Kikaha, and I went to Waimea High School. I went away to college and put myself to school. I have a bachelor's degree in economics. It's a study of business. That would be very beneficial in the county. And to prove to you that I'm a smart businessman, my wife and I own 10 and a half acres and three homes on this island. I don't think any one of you out there would like to match that. And I'm not bragging, but I'm telling you, Mr. DaCosta knows how to invest money and how to make smart business moves. I came back and married the girl of my dreams and raising three boys. I coached high school football at Waimea, and I was teacher of the year 8 out of 10 years at Waimea High School. If the kids could vote, I would be your next governor. Now let me tell you something. The state was going to close a program up in Koke'e. It's an environmental program. Lack of money. They don't give funding for gas. I took the job. I drive every day to Koke'e and I pay my own gas. Just for that center, if Koke'e don't close, I take your kids camping. I give time out of my heart. I work to 8 o'clock at night with these kids. I only get paid to 2:45. I do it for a keiki. If you can trust me with your keiki, you can trust me with your issues. The other day, I was driving home through Waimea Town and I saw a boy, Jerry Oliver. He lives homeless in Waimea Park, Russian Fort area. I saw him with a broken pair of rubber slippers, and his shirt was dirty. You know what Mr. DaCosta did? From the bottom of my heart, I look every one of you in the eye and I tell you, I stopped my truck, I called Jerry over, and I gave him the last $10 in my wallet. And he looked at me and smiled, but he didn't say thank you. And I said, Jerry, you can tell Uncle Bill thank you. He said, Uncle, I don't know that word, because not too many people helped me. Help our community. That's what I'm all about. Here. Here.
Thank you, Billy. Ross Kagawa.
Thank you. You know, 2 years ago, I sat here and I told you about my stance on the pesticide issue. And I said, if there is facts or evidence that our children or our people are being impacted adversely by the pesticides, that I would support, measures, strong measures against the seed companies. And I have yet to see facts, proof, or evidence. And we continue to look for that evidence. You know, you talk about accomplishments, about what did we accomplish with Bill 2491. Myself and Councilmember Raposo, we set our efforts at the state level. And today, we have one additional pesticide inspector in addition to the one that we had. That's a 100% increase. Today, we have a dust control inspector at the State Department of Health after Rod Yama retired after 30-something years. Today, we have a 1,000% increase because there wasn't anybody, and he's there now. So, I mean, it's putting your efforts in the right place, and you know, we continue. We need to go and find, you know, what is falling from the pesticides on the dirt, dust-laden drift, and into the homes. And I have relatives that live right there. They're willing to be test sites. So, you know, with that, let's talk about responsible government, which we need. You know, last year, in the past 2 years, this council approve all types of fee hikes, fuel taxes, car registration, vehicle weight taxes, tipping fees, property taxes for residential TVR hotel. We raise everything. Now, what are we going to cut? I propose the most cuts by any, by a large margin over any other council member. And that is a fact. My cuts led to $1 million in cuts in the past 2 years.
Thank you, Ross. And Felicia Cowden.
I'm Felicia Cowden, and I also humbly ask for one of your 7 votes. And I extend gratitude to everyone in this room and all those who helped to put this environment together. Where I think I bring to this table is diversity and independence and strength. Yes, I'm a small person. Normally we're hearing about everybody's football history. My high school credentials, varsity gymnastics, flexibility, grace, and strength, despite the size. So what you would be getting from me is independence. Already, the county has and the people have my full-time commitment. You may have seen that I am attending everything that I can, getting strong and ready for this job as a council member. I don't have another job at this time. I have undivided loyalty. When you elect Felicia, you're electing a government that controls and supports industry and not the other way around. So you're going to find a voice that is going to be consistently for the people, about the people. And jobs are very important. But we want to make sure that we aren't priced off the island, that we aren't pushed off the land. How do we do that? By strengthening small business. By, as I said, by creating food, by creating options. We need to make sure that the leg of our economy that is locally based regains its strength. We have a lot of external investment here, very large companies that bring jobs that are appreciated, but we're overly dependent on that leg of our economy, and they get the highest priority. We need to shift our weight. We need to make sure that people can stay in their houses. We need to make sure that they aren't punished for doing small micro businesses that is responded with a tax that keeps them completely out of their homes and perhaps off the island. So my name is Felicia Cowden. Humbly ask for your vote.
Thank you, Felicia. Tonight I'd like to, in particular, thank the wonderful listeners at KKCR Kauai Community Radio for joining us from all over the world to be with us here tonight. I want to thank the folks watching in on Hawaii Stream as well and our cable viewers on Hauike Kauai Community Television. More importantly, though, I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time out of your busy life to be a participant in this government process. It is essential that you are here and that you vote. And I thank all 14 of our candidates, especially those who were able to join us tonight, Joanne Yukimura, Mel Raposo, Mason Chalk, Daryl Perry, Kipukai Kualii, Arthur Brune, Errol Kaneshiro, Gary Hoosier, Billy DaCosta, Ross Kagawa, Felicia Cowden. Thank you all very, very much. Ladies and gentlemen, have a pleasant evening.